or Maqbaratul Ma'alat, which is known also as Abu Talib or Bani Hashim or the Hashemite Cemetery, is the place that this lady was buried. This was really an outstanding cemetery with domes and the minarets and, you know, great architecture, which unfortunately was demolished by Wahhabis as so many other Islamic architectures. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding lady, Lady Khadija al-Kubra. And thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai and Sheikh Rouhani, for your presence in the program, the teacher. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, the teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstudy.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanat.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
An-Naqi means the pure, the immaculate, the clean. Al-Hadi means the guide. All the imams came for guidance.
As-salamu alaykum ya ahla bayt al-nubuwa wa mawdi'a al-risala wa mukhtalaf al-malaika.
Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety.
This is Dialogue, an introduction into the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam. Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam. He was the direct descendant of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him. He was the 10th divinely appointed Imam. He was the 10th divinely appointed successor and trustee of the seal of prophethood, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He was the esteemed son of the 9th divinely appointed Imam, Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. He was also the auspicious grandson of the 8th divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was a beacon of light in an age full of darkness. And during his imamah, not only was Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam afflicted with the oppression and the treachery of the Abbasid kings of his time, in fact, all Muslims were afflicted by these tyrannical rulers. The Abbasid caliphs played with the principles of religion to the point that not even a shadow of Islam remained during their reigns. And so we find that in this kind of a situation, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam stood up against the Abbasid caliphs and revealed the truth for one and for all.
Parts of Ziyara text of Jamaatul Kabira issued by Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salamu ala a'immatil huda wa masabih at-tuja wa a'lam at-tuqa wa dawil nuha.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety, the owners of understanding, the endued with thoughts, the havens of the peoples, the inheritors of the prophets, the perfect specimen, the most excellent call in the arguments of Allah against the inhabitants of the world, the hereafter and the former world. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon you all.
Warahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu ala mahal.
Peace be upon the exponents of the recognition of Allah, the centers of Allah's blessing, the essence of Allah's wisdom, the keepers of Allah's secrets, the bearers of Allah's book, the successor of Allah's prophet, and the progeny of Allah's messenger. May Allah send blessings upon him and his household. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon them.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu ala al-a'immat ad-du'at.
Peace be upon the imams, the leaders, the guides, the chiefs, the authorities, the defenders, the protectors, the people of the reminder, the men in authority, the left ones by Allah, his select, his party, the case of his knowledge, his argument, his path, his light, his proof. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon them.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's an honor to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam, he lived in an era where corruption and moral and ethical decadence were quite prevalent. And so in this kind of a morally decadent society, of course, in some part, which was primarily due to the decadent and corrupt lifestyles of the Abbasid caliphs, who then promoted this kind of lifestyle among the elite and the wealthy and the upper class. Most probably we'll find that the middle class and the lower class, they were more in tune to religion and to be more pious. But still, when poison starts to spread within a society, it is very difficult to protect oneself from that poison. And so the people became very much oriented towards worldliness and towards materialism and money and wealth and property and these kind of things. So here we find one of the companions, he had asked Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam, you know, what is the use of the afterlife? What benefit does it give us? And so Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam, again, this is interesting, instead of replying in his own words, he replies in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And what's interesting about this is that His Eminence Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam is promoting and encouraging people to turn towards Imam Ali alayhi salam. And while he is talking about this ma'arif and knowledge of Islam, he is also strengthening and putting forth the true status of Imam Ali alayhi salam. But he says that Imam Ali alayhi salam says, one who busies themselves with thinking about the afterlife will be rich even though they don't have money. They will feel at ease even though they don't have a family. And they will feel mighty even though they have no companions. And here what is really beautiful is this is an aspect about thinking about the afterlife or keeping the afterlife in mind that we rarely really think about this benefit. You know, usually we have other kind of benefits that we think about and we talk about, But here, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, these are some of the benefits of thinking of the afterlife, right? Not all of the benefits. We find that, for example, if His Eminence were to talk about all the benefits, then, you know, you'd have pages and pages and pages. And what's beautiful about the Imams is they have very short, concise statements that are very, very powerful. And so here he says, one, that you will become rich, even though you don't have money. Why will you be rich? Because you know that the afterlife is the true life, and that is where you will reap what you sow, and that is where you get all of your true rewards. Finally, you will feel at ease even though you don't have a family. Why? Well, this place is temporary. You will die and you will go on, and then inshallah, we will be in paradise with our true family members. And finally, you will feel mighty without any companions. Again, because you know that there is an afterlife, there is a hereafter, there is a heaven, there is a hell, and this world is temporary and it will finish. And thus, these are the benefits of thinking about the afterlife. We too should be thinking about it as well. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/EN Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many other great programs as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Israeli occupation jails.
Part 1.
Today we visited Rimam prison. We left the house at 3 o'clock. The ICRC bus picked us up at 4. Then the ICRC officers checked and gave us permits. They coordinated our visit and gave us some instructions about behaviors and meals to avoid a security search. The children rejoice that they're going to see their father for the first time. For example, my little son Muhannad has never seen his father. Muhannad does not even know him. We had been promised that all the children will meet their father. Unfortunately, Muhannad was allowed to meet his dad, but his brother wasn't. The little child started crying. We begged them to let him go with his brother, but they turned a cold shoulder.
I love my dad. I miss him so much. I asked them for an hour to enter, but the Israelis refused. I was looking forward to hugging him.
The ICRC staff did their best to help us by all means. They relieved my fears of the visit. Honestly speaking, I was afraid and did not want to go. I refused the visit, but later when I met Abu Said, who came with the ICRC officers, I became quiet and calm. I thought that whatever happened in the prison would be safe with the ICRC officers.
ICRC is coordinating with Palestinian and Israeli authorities in order to allow Gazan detainees to receive visits from their families. During family visits, ICRC staff is always present at the health checkpoint in order to facilitate the crossing.
The story begins here. A Palestinian family rejoiced in releasing his son from the Israeli occupation jails after 23 years of imprisonment.
I was very optimistic about being included in the first list of prisoners to be released. I spent 23 years in the prison and had to spend another 2 years of the sentence. I was not surprised so much by the release, but I was absolutely excited about it. But I wish the list had included some brothers of mine in the prison who were sentenced to life imprisonments rather than releasing me. Anyway, it was my destiny to be free, thanks Allah. When they brought us from the prison to Gaza and we found such a reception at Erez Crossing, we were very proud of our people, relatives, and the homeland. I met my beloved sons, family, relatives, and people.
I was tortured in isolated underground cells because I did not confess anything. In the beginning of my imprisonment, I refused to speak. Then I discovered I was pregnant. I announced a hunger strike, and my announcement way was different from the way now made by the prisoners.
Umm Mahmoud al-Zaq, a released prisoner, has suffered a lot from imprisonment. She withstood against torture apparatus. She was a good example in standing against the enemy and in belonging to home.
It was not just to say I announced hunger strike. I refused to have meals from the Israeli canteen, and I used to tell them, I do not have an appetite. This statement was my slogan, which confused the officers. It would have been easier for them if I simply said I was hunger striking.
With silently crying eyes seeking to meet their beloved imprisoned son and raising victory signs in reference to keep demonstration, as long as their sons are imprisoned in the Israeli jails, prisoners' families marched to the International Committee of the Red Cross, ICRC office in Gaza on Mondays to send their message to the world. Abu Sharif, a father of a prisoner in Israeli jail, talks about prisoners' situation, suffering of prisoners' families, and their weekly demonstration.
The Monday demonstration is sacred. We have to demonstrate in solidarity with the prisoners. We call for prisoners' freedom and good treatment instead of maltreating them inside the Israeli jails.
The main players of the international community, they support Israel by a way or another, and they lived a long time ago in conspiracy of silence, which gives the Israel the green light to violate and to increase their violations against the Palestinians.
In the journey for covering another suffering, we met Umm Nidal, a mother of two long-term prisoners, aged and burdened with life bitterness. A journey of 1,000 miles begins here.
Dia was jailed at the age of 16 on October the 10th, 1992. Next month, Dia will be 22 years old. He executed a heroic resistance operation for the sake of his people and cause. This is why the Israelis arrested him. Muhammad, who is 22 years old, has been detained since he was 11. He was 11 when his brother was arrested. He's been imprisoned for 11 years. We used to visit him fortnightly. To us, the visit day was like a festival or a pilgrimage. Actually, as if we're going to visit the Prophet or the Kaaba. The night before the visit, we felt that we were really going to the Kaaba. They were our sons in the jail. It was absolute rejoice. We were not able to sleep the night before the visit. We stayed up all night waiting for the visiting time next day. But since the imposal of the Shalit law, Gaza families have been prohibited from visiting their sons in prison.
لكن حدا ما حتى قدم شريط منع زيارة أهل يعني أهالي أسقط على غزة.
محمد نشبت, a recently released prisoner, is still receiving his friends and relatives telling them about the pains of the prison.
تحقيق يعني كان عذاب مش بشكل طبيعي, يعني أول إشي من ناحية نفسية كان عذاب.
Interrogation was miserable. It was unbelievable. First of all, the investigation was psychiatric torture. I was tied by the hands and legs and my head covered with a foul-smelling bag, my clothes torn and my body partially naked. The jailers used to force me to stay in this manner for 3 or 4 hours. Then they forced me to keep standing for 4 to 10 hours in miserable humiliation, sleepless, without looking at what was going on around me. I was not allowed to sleep or to sit down. When I surrendered to sleep, I was suddenly beaten. I suffered from this interrogative method for 28 days. International law, including the Fourth Geneva Convention, is applicable in occupied territories like Palestine, including the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and Jerusalem. According to the convention, the law of war is applicable in these territories. So anyone arrested by a military occupation in occupied territories is called a civilian prisoner, not a prisoner of war. This is the general basis.
هذه هي القاعدة العامة.
حمل ثقيل يعني. هذا متجوز وعنده أسرة ونسوان ثنتين وبيت ملوش.
It is really a big burden. He is married and has a family and 2 wives. He does not have a house. They have lived in a room in my house since he was arrested. They suffer a lot. Even his first wife is not allowed to visit him in the prison. The absence of the father makes a big problem. In our Arab culture, the father, with the mother's assistance, is the only one who can raise his children well. So they suffer from his absence psychologically and socially.
Men's eyes do not tear, but refuse tyranny. The son and mother of the prisoner are preoccupied with unforgettable memories.
Sharif used to come here in the kitchen every Friday on his way to the mosque close to our place.
الأسبوع الأول أنا ما شفتش طعم النوم ولا الراحة, كنت مشبوهة.
In the first week, I was not able to sleep or relax. I was tied by the hands and legs to a middle chair, bowing forward sometimes and backward with the hands tied to the legs from the back other times. I estimated these states lasted from 8 to 10 hours each day. I was even prohibited from praying on the chair. During this week, I refused to talk about anything related to the occupied territories. I was tortured physically and psychologically.
طالما الأسر إبعاد الإنسان وسلخ الإنسان عن الحياة الطبيعية.
As long as imprisonment isolates a human from a normal life, it has severe effects on his or her psychology and mentality. This means a human lacks a normal life and communication with people and turns him or her to living an abnormal life. Sometimes solitary confinement aims to deprive a human of his or her natural psychology and intellectuality. Imprisonment forces a human to live an abnormal life full of difficulties, isolated from normality and deprived of a family and loved ones.
The last savior.
Oh, the savior.
to the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of your very favorite Last Savior. Well, the program in which we talk about the future we hope for. I am Asma. Once more, I have the honor to be your host. And here with me, I have Brother Alavi. He's going to help us with the knowledge that we're going to gain through this episode and the coming episodes, of course. So, welcome, brother.
Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
And thanks for inviting me to your show.
It's always a pleasure to be here with you and to have you here.
Same here.
So previously on other sessions, we talked about some other questions. And the last one was about the attentions and the bond that exists between Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and their followers and the people who follow them and they believe in them. So it's not just like this relationship that, okay, they exist, but they do not know what happens to every single one of us. We have it even in our narrations that they somebody went to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and asked him that, do you know what goes on into my life? And then Imam said, if you have a fever, just to give him an idea about how much he cares for his followers, if you go through a fever, I would feel that as well. I would go through the same pain as well. So it's not just like a one-sided road, a relationship that's only being covered by us as the followers. No, it's just like a mutual thing. And they care for us in every step in our life. They're going to watch for us and look after us. So this was the last thing we talked about. And today, we're going to talk about another question. There is this hadith and narration that I would like you to mention that. But the whole idea is that if there is no imam, then the world is going to go shattered.
Mm-hmm.
And well, how come? How come the entire world is just connected together? All the pieces of this world come together for only one person. And if that one person does not exist, then nobody can exist.
Very true. Yes, Quran says that about the purpose of this creation, says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ لَا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That is, we have created the whole thing, the jinn and the humans, just to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the purpose of creation. Again, in the same Quran, we read that who are good people who are performing this worship in the best way. It says about one prophet, for example, in Surah Al-Sad, نعم العبد. He was among the best creatures, best servants of mine. So he was a prophet of God. Again, Allah says again in another verse, إِنَّهُ مِنْ عَبَادِنَا الصَّالِحِينَ. He was among the righteous of my servants. So we see, if we want to have a good worship, we need to be among the righteous. And these righteous people actually perform or move or step in the same target, in the same purpose of creation, which was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he created the whole thing for a worship, and they are the role models of the worshippers.
Exactly.
Right? So they were among those who performed the worship in the pure sense of worship.
Yeah,
do you think
arrogance.
That this creation was created for my own worship? I'm just talking about my own self. Because I know what kind of worship I'm doing. But this worship of mine is totally different with the worship of that prophet that Allah admires and adores in Quran.
Which is so purely.
Yeah, and they were in the course of history, they were either prophets or imams. When the Prophet actually introduces his successors, he says, "Ana wa Ali abawa hadha al-umma." That is, me and Ali are the fathers of this ummah, this nation. Out of these worships that comes from these good people, so this earth is continuing. Because let me give you another example. Look, for a student to educate well, there are Ministry of Educations in different countries. There are smaller organizations under them. There are schools, there are teachers. There are
different branches.
What to do? To bring up a kid to become an educated person. Yeah. This is the outcome of this system, right? So we see that the person who is the key person, or the persons who are the key persons in this creation, are them. And it is due to them that this creation is continuing and this purpose is materializing, is showing itself, is manifesting its output through his ibadah, through his worship. So definitely this earth, that based on the hadith that you refer to, لَوْلَا الْحُجَّ لَسَخَتِ الْأَرْضُ بِأَهْلَ, that is, the earth will be shattered with his inhabitants. So that's true, because they are the role model, or they are the manifestations of this worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the earth for.
Yeah, so, I'm sure it's an interesting topic and we have a lot to digest. Mm. But then we have to go for a short break and then we'll be back.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old
So, yeah, we understood that without them, we are lost, actually. The Holy Prophet and his family. Without these people, the entire world is going to go shattered. So we have it in our narrations that if you pay gifts, go for charities, pay sadaqah in the name of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam and the Prophet and his sons, there's a lot of rewards in that. Can you just please explain more on this point? Because, I mean, they are great people. Mm-hmm. So they're not in need of my sadaqas or charities or almsgivings.
Mm-hmm. Since we are talking mostly about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam in this series of shows, because we are talking about the last savior. Mm-hmm. So specifically and primarily, our center or our discussion is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Yeah.
So it can be actually applied for other imams and infallibles as well. Definitely, it is important to gift spiritual and material things for the sake of Imam to others or to Imam himself. For example, to recite some salawat for the health of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, definitely. So we can refer it to Quranic teachings as well. How can we understand it from Quran? Let's look at Quran. Quran says that one of the duties of the children is to pray for their parents, right? وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. Surah Isra. We pray for them. And again, there is a duty of the parents just to pray for their children as well.
Exactly.
Right. So this is a mutual relation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Al-Quran. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Al-Quran, مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. That is, Ibrahim was your father. The nation of your father, Ibrahim.
Ibrahim.
Right. Again, the Holy Prophet said, I am your father. أَنَا وَعَلِي أَبَوَ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. Me and Ali are the fathers of this nation. So one of the rights of the father is to pray for his children. And
of
one of the
course.
Right of the children is to pray for
their father.
Their fathers and parents.
Mm-hmm.
So we are praying for our parents. And imams are from one single nur, from one single
they're
light.
They're one soul.
They are one soul.
Yeah.
Right? Let's look at it from another perspective. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Al-Quran pays a quite different attention to salat, to prayer, to five-time prayers in a day. And the prayers in general, that is, in general, whether it is recommended or compulsory or mandatory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna salati wa nusuki, this salat is mine. Salati, that is, he says, it's mine. That is, what you perform, it's mine.
Mm-hmm.
Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyai. Look, he says that this is that important, that among the good actions, it is parallel to all good actions that you have. Where in Al-Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have revealed to them doing good actions and performing salat. So salat is a good action also. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not include it in the good action? He wanted to say, no, this good action is something else. And again, this good action is a beautiful manner of a human being in front of his Lord. What is more beautiful than that? The status of prostration, sajda, sujood.
Exactly.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes the people who are in sujood, in the status of sujood. Even the Prophet, once a person came to him, what should I do to be with you in hereafter? He said, take your long sujood, your long prostrations. Continue having long prostrations for yourself. This is the key to be with me in the hereafter.
Exactly.
So it is very important. So if we say in the sujood, we have been recommended in a hadith that in sujood even you can pray for your husband's sustenance, rizq of your husband. Exact dua is also available. وَارْزُقْنِي وَارْزُقْ عِيَالِي مِنْ فَضْلِكَ. That is, give me and my husband and my family from your blessings. So when we have been ordered that in the best status of worship, which is sujood, to pray for your husband. So isn't it good to pray for the imam of your time, whose life is the proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth? So we can pray, for example, for a person in our vicinity. We cannot pray for imam. Or the reason of creation, the purpose of creation, right? We already said that the creation has been created with the purpose of worship. And who is materializing this worship? Imam of the time. So we are said to pray for your husband in sujood in the best, beautiful action that Allah loves best. So definitely praying for imam is prior to all this.
Exactly.
It can happen everywhere in salat, in other issues, other cases. So we need to actually also give sadaqah for the sake, for the health, for the sake of imam alayhi salam. No, imam is not in need of these prayers, du'as and salats, but it elevates us. This is for the betterment of our status. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Al-Quran, what does he say? He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Allah and his angels, they recite salawat for the whole Prophet.
Yeah.
Right? When Allah does something, it means that it is very important. Why should I be deprived of that?
And we have it in the continuation of that verse as well.
Yeah.
So when Allah does it, you who believe, you the believers,
it
have to do
that. It tells even the mu'minin,
well,
the believers, إن الله ملكته يصلون عليهم يا الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا
تسليما.
That is, you do the same thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did.
Yeah.
So we have been recommended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do such a thing. I mean, this is what Allah wants us to do. Allah loves it.
Exactly.
So look, the Prophet is not in need of my salat for him.
Exactly.
Why Allah is reciting salat on him.
It's actually for us, I suppose.
For us, that's it. It is for us, to elevate us.
Exactly. And to make us closer. It would bring us closer to Ahlul Bayt alayhim
wa sallam. And to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And to Allah, of course.
Yeah. Because they have been selected to play the role of mediator towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
So they make us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah. And this is a chain, like
very
a chain.
True.
And you are just helping yourself to get stronger in that chain.
Very true. The same way that this spiritual gifts, spiritual, let's say, recitations, rewards are important. The same way material things are important as well. For example, give food for the sake of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam to a needy person, right?
Yeah.
So you give it on his behalf.
It's a manifestation of love.
True. When you love, for example, a person, you do whatever you can for your beloved,
you have
right?
to act accordingly in order to prove it.
Very true. Thank you.
Yeah, and that's all. So in order to show our love, we have to pay whatever we have, whether it be from your soul, whether it be from your money, whatever you have in the way of the Prophet and his sons, in order to get closer to Allah and act as a good servant to him. So thank you for staying with us. And thank you for listening. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of life? Where is the shining moon? Where is the firmness grown? Please.
everyone has a beloved, a new dear friend. But I have you, my dear. May God protect you, my dear. May God protect you.
IRIB English Radio, for those who seek the truth.
This is Back to Reality.
Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Arab English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Back to Reality. This is Asma. I have the honor to be your host once more. And here with me, I have Sister Bita and Brother Mustafa. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Yeah, of course, the pleasure is all ours. And then, as the ritual of this program goes, please introduce yourself very briefly.
Sure, my name is Sayyid Mustafa, and I've lived in different parts of the world, but I'm originally from Pakistan, and I'm a student here in Qom, and I'm studying psychology here in Hawza.
Yeah, that's great. Psychology.
And it comes to me, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, our dear listeners, and my dear host, and dear brother here. It's an honor for me to be here again at Back to Reality. I am Bita, and I'm studying at one of the Tehran's university, and I'm studying medicine, by the way, and an honor for me to be here.
So wish both of you luck and success. Thank you. And so happy much. For you to be here. I don't know if it happens to you or not, but I'm sure as human beings, it must happen to every single individual. Sometimes we feel that we're not such patient people, but in different circumstances, we see that, no, we just have got it wrong. There are some occasions in life in which you're going to know yourself more and you're going to start your capacities even more. So there are many people who would say that we're not patient, we can't deal with difficult situations, but when those difficult situations come in, they turn out to be patient people. So now there's this question, how do you define patience?
It's a great question. So patience has been defined in many different ways in our religion and in general as well. A lot of times I think that the common sort of definition that comes up for patience is being able to tolerate hardships, right? Being able to not sort of give up, not quit, not to get stressed out, for example, not to get angry. All of those things are sort of taken into account in terms of patience. It's definitely a huge topic. We have books and books written on it. It's not an easy topic to like define, I would say, within a few minutes. But exactly. We all have a general idea of what it is, right?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Patience is equal to balance. And balance is the key to this world. But what does that mean? It means that we have balance in biology, we have balance in physics, wherever you go. And you know, the rule of being healthy is homeostasis. The balance that you have in your body, despite the fact that the environment is changing, okay? And this is really beautiful and delicate.
Nice, scientifically.
Yeah. And, you know, it is exactly the same for patients. When you feel like you're patient, it doesn't mean that you don't get angry. It doesn't mean that you are not annoyed.
Exactly.
It means that you are angry. It means that you are furious, but you are trying to control in a balanced way.
So this was just the introduction to the topic. Let's go for a short break and then we'll be back. Thank you for staying with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Yes, this is IRIB English Radio, Back to Reality, Sister Bita and Brother Mustafa. We're talking about patience. Well, every one of us defines patience differently. as Sister Rita puts it, it's so scientifically something as balance. And then as Brother Mustafa puts it, it's the way that we deal with different situations.
Another way that I would say look at patience is sometimes when we feel like we don't have control over a situation, like we don't understand how to deal with it, is when we start losing patience over things, right? For example, let's say my kid is misbehaving and I don't know how to sort of deal with him or her, and I will now lash out at them. I'll become angry, for example. Yeah. I'll lose, as you said, I'll lose patience, right? I think one way to solve that is to bring patience in you, is to learn how to deal with those things. If you don't know, if your kid is having, for example, a problem, go and seek advice from an expert. That's something, by the way, I'm talking about personal experience, that I had that issue. Like, I would have difficulty dealing with my son. And then now that I'm studying psychology, I ended up consulting a lot of my teachers, and they made me realize, like, the small mistakes I was making. They said, hey, you no longer need to use anger to deal with your kid. We're going to teach you 20 techniques. Next time you use these techniques, and honestly, that worked. I no longer lose my patience with my child.
So you mean that sometimes it's not patience that we're dealing with. It's actually the knowledge that we have to gain.
Yes, and that will bring patience in us because now we know how to deal with that situation.
Yeah, that's very true. So that was my question, actually.
Yeah.
If I am thinking about patience, and if I think that, okay, I have to develop more of patience in myself and in my characteristics, how should I do it?
You know, I think at first patience is like a challenge for me. It's a kind of practice that I have to practice it every day in every situation, okay? And by the way, I think it really depends on your personality and your nature to some extent, for sure, that some people are more patient than others.
You know,
we see that, you know. Maybe it's because of the balance of hormones and chemicals in their body and so many other factors that we're not aware.
And maybe they have worked on themselves a lot.
Exactly. And maybe it takes a lot of time for them to practice this patience in every situation.
Yeah.
And the thing that I try to focus on whenever I feel like I'm impatient is that I try to think. And I'm an overthinker, okay? And it really helps me to be patient because overthinking takes time, and this taking time will help me that, okay, it's not
become
that...
become your habit.
Yeah, it's my habit, and I feel like it's not that valuable to get furious or angry about.
Brother, it's not just anger...
Right.
The opposite of patience.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just when we are angry, we have to control this and call it patience. Sometimes there are difficulties in life that we must be patient with them.
Definitely. And I think it's your state of mind as well, right? And the name of the show is Back to Reality. And I think we have to understand that reality is sort of patient. What I mean by that is that we want things to happen straight away many times, right? For example, we will want, for example, to become a doctor straight away, to get that job straight away, to get...
Yeah, exactly.
But reality doesn't behave that way, right? Just, for example, look at plants, right? I used to do gardening, and if you plant a seed, it can take months for it to become... It won't, no matter how much you desire, it will not grow faster. It's the same with other situations in life. Like, they're not going to become faster. You have to wait. You have to study. You have to go through those things.
Yeah, everything takes its course in real life.
So you have to accept reality.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so this is the thing with patience, that it takes time. And as Justice Sibita and Brother Mustafa mentioned, we have to give them their own time. We have to let things take their own course and happen just as time goes by. So it's not just like in life, whatever you wish must happen just right the moment. And things have to take their own time. So let's skip it in here, go for a short break, and then be back. Welcome back. Well, this is Back to Reality, and we're talking about patience, the most difficult thing, I suppose, in this world. The most difficult balance that we have to achieve in life is patience, which actually needs too much of practice. And by the way, in Persian language, we have a code that says, if you wait And if you practice patience, then you're going to get the fruit and the reward of that patience.
Yeah.
So patience might be so difficult at times when you are in miserable situations, when you are having too much of pain, when you are losing someone, when you're in terrible. But then in the end, when time goes by, when you just sit there and wait for the situations to settle down, then you could see that it wasn't as difficult as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that is the reward of patience. Every time you go for a new experience, you would understand that there is more of capacity in you.
Definitely. I think patience teaches us a lot of things, makes us better human beings, and is part of human growth, right? Yeah. Without it, like I mentioned in the example before, a tree grows with patience. It's the same with human beings. We also grow through patience as well.
Well, has it ever happened to you to gain something out of the patience that you have practiced in your life? I mean, has it ever added anything to you?
Definitely. Of course it has. I think it's allowed me to handle difficult situations much better. It's reduced the amount of stress that I feel in my life. And that's one big thing, is when you feel patience, you also feel anxiety and stress with it, right? And that can cause many negative health effects on you. But yeah, once you sort of get over that situation, you overcome that difficulty and you gain that patience, you feel so much stronger, right? You feel so much better and you can handle life much better and any difficulties that you face.
Following whatever you mentioned, let me add something. Patience is like water. In every situation, it has its own single form. Like whenever it's cold, water becomes, you know, ice. And it's exactly the same for patience. Patience has different forms in different situations. And I think for gaining patience, you have to go through that situation. Mm-hmm. You have to go through that difficulties. And it is, patience can be defined as one of the beautiful reasons of difficulties that we're facing in the life.
But then why is it so difficult to be patient?
You know, I think the main reason that we are facing difficulties to be patient in this modern life is the pace of this life, okay? Everything is really fast and speedy in this modern life, like social media, like the new generation cannot tolerate this being so slow and this,
giving time to things.
Exactly, giving time to things, which is natural for the life we are living, okay? And this is the main reason that we feel like it's difficult to be patient. Another reason is that we feel like life should be la vie en rose. It's not like that, okay?
Yeah.
Life is difficult. The nature of life is difficulty to test you, to make you, to tell you and remind
you
that you are a human being and you have to go through these hardships.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so brother, would there be any side effects for being too much patient? I mean, would that have some health issues? Yeah. You are in a difficult situation and you tolerate more than your capacity.
Oh, yeah.
I see what you're saying. I guess so, yeah, it depends on the situation really, right? Like I said, we want to deal with any situation that we're in. My recommendation would be to deal with it through expertise and knowledge. In any case, whether you're waiting too much, if you're waiting too long, it could be because maybe you're lacking knowledge in that situation. For example, I could wait too long to speak to my son about a certain topic, which I should have talked to him about at that age, right? I was being too patient here. No, you have to do things at the right time. You don't want to miss the opportunity of that thing either. One other thing I wanted to add to what you guys were saying is that one reason it's so difficult to be patient is because of our desires.
Yeah.
Our desires want that thing straight away, whereas patience says, no, you're going to have to wait. So there's like this conflict.
Paradox.
It's that balance that you spoke about.
Yeah.
There's this balance between your desires and the time it's going to take to actually get it. And then sometimes you're not going to get what you want. And then you have to be patient there as well when you don't meet your goals. Or
exactly.
That's another side of patience that you have to take care of.
When you just mentioned the word patience, what symbol would come to your mind?
I think the symbol of patience is mother in every culture that you go through. Mother is a symbol of being patient for growing a child. Since the moment of conception that the fetus is put in the stomach of the mother, till the child is the exact child that was at the moment of conception for that mother, okay? This concept is not changing. And this is the beautiful example of being patient and patience and having this endless kindness towards a human being.
Yeah. So, and you, brother, what symbolizes patience in your
mind?
I think
a mother is a good example. But for me, I like looking at the universe and just like the stars and trees and nature. And you can see those things take thousands, hundreds of thousands of years to be made. For example, the mountains that we look at, they've taken hundreds of thousands of years to be made. And I see God as being extremely patient with creation and with us, you know, with the way we behave with God. It's another way of seeing patience.
And
God is patient.
Of course, we have a lot of those examples in the life of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, like as in Sayyida Zainab salamullah alayha. She was, for me, the thing that symbolizes patience is her. Thank you, Sister Bita, and thank you, Brother Mustafa. This was all the time that we had for today's episode. And thank you, dear listeners, for being with us. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي let the ummah rise again let us see daylight again once again.
Hi, and welcome to this edition of Gaza Under Attack. I'm Saeed Purza, coming to you from the British capital. Over the weekend, Israel began its ground assault. The move saw the Gaza Strip isolated as communications were cut. The death toll from the genocidal attack on Gaza continues to climb, with the majority of the martyred civilians, women, children, the most vulnerable. Let's bring you up to speed with where things are so far. Despite international condemnation, Israel continues its intensifying assault. Ground forces are pushing deeper into northern Gaza. Israeli tanks have been seen on the road linking northern and southern Gaza. Airstrikes have killed hundreds of civilians in the last 24 hours. Nowhere is safe, including the Al-Quds Hospital, that's been warned to evacuate immediately. 14,000 people are now sheltering there. More than 8,000 Palestinians, men, women, and children have been murdered by incessant Israeli shelling since October 7th. The UAE has called an emergency UN Security Council meeting seeking a binding resolution demanding that Israel accept a humanitarian pause to the fighting. Iran is warning of new war fronts if the U.S. continues support for Israel. Here in the U.K., calls for humanitarian pauses by members of the opposition Labour Party. Still, no call for a ceasefire. So what's next in Israel's genocidal campaign? With me here in the studio to discuss and unpack all of that, broadcaster and political analyst Tede Kofi. And joining us on Skype is Ali Salam. He's the editor-in-chief of Basira Press. He is in Moscow at the moment, but is normally based in Tehran. Gentlemen, good to have both of you with us. Tete, The weekend saw the Israeli incursion into the Gaza Strip after days of waiting for it to happen. What do you make of all of that? What is your reaction?
Well, it was entirely predictable, I think, because the only people who can hold Israel back from such incredible action is the United States of America. And barring forthright action by the United States of America, this was completely predictable. And the scale of the